And so I always like to start with, you cannot know what you have never heard, and you cannot understand what you do not know. You cannot apply what you do not understand, and you cannot succeed in what you have never applied. We talked about the Bible is a psychological truth. It's all about psychological truth. So it's the truth about your mind. It is truth based on the mind. And if we say that the mind governs our lives, then the Bible is an autobiography. It's an autobiography of your life. It's an autobiography that explains to us what's happening in our life and how it's happening. Now, today we're going to touch into the self. Or in other philosophies, they call it the Atman, the inner self. Who is the self? And this is a very big concept that we, for many years, we've really misunderstood the self, misunderstood it, we've misunderstood what the self was all about. And so today we're gonna try and ask a very interesting question. And the question that we're gonna ask is a question we all ask on a daily basis. We all experience things and ask these very questions. And so the first question is, when people come and go through difficulties in their life, they go through situations in their life, there is always a statement which says, nobody really understands me. So you have a voice in the back of your head, and the voice in the back of your head will play up and says, nobody really understands what I'm going through. And during that process of you saying that nobody really understands what you're going through, you are in that very moment seeing yourself as a separate entity to everybody else. You are seeing yourself as a different source, as a different, and entity is probably the best way to describe it, is because we see ourselves here and then we see everybody else and then we say, I am not understood by many. Now then, the first question we must ask is, when these sort of thoughts come into us and one says, nobody really understands me, what causes that separation between the self that separates itself from everything else? What does? When you hear someone say, nobody understands me, or yourself, when you've said in the past, nobody understands me, that separation, what do you think causes that? Anybody? What causes the separations in our mind that causes us to see ourselves as a separate entity to the point where we say, nobody really understands me?
I reckon, like, when people think about, like, that to themselves,
yeah,
they play the victim a little bit as well.
Yeah.
And I would say just their, maybe the negative energy that they're giving to themselves create that separation.
Yeah.
That put themselves in that state of mind. And when you're in that situation, even though deep down you know that other people has been through it, you push that truth out and you just want to keep telling yourself that no one understands you, to keep playing that victim.
So then if we say that one is playing a victim, and we use this terminology all the time, which is true, that we play victims sometimes in our lives, then when you play a victim, what do you hope for?
Sympathy and harm.
Sympathy, attention, love. Let's go a step deeper. Is that really what they're looking for?
I don't think they'll be really think about love first thing. It might like fly around the head. This is my
yeah.
It's more of like more focused on the negative, because you keep beating yourself back.
Yeah, yeah. The, when you're saying focus on the negative that people are doing to you, or which side of the negative are we focusing on, or that person is focusing on?
I think it maybe starts from well, for someone to say no one really understands me, they'll be using something that they experienced for someone else first, and then they will condemn themselves on top of that.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just a mixture of those two going around. And because like it's really hard, even if you do try to get out of that, love is not like the really first thing you think of.
Yeah.
But if you do think of it, it's kind of like they don't believe it hard enough for them to go like, all right, I'm over it. I noticed that like it takes a while to be like, you say like, I'm done feeling this way, and then that's when you get up, you start ignoring it and stuff like that, take action towards something else. But there is some, for some reason, we like to sit there in the depression or whatever, that negative energy for a while.
Yeah.
And soak it up for some reason, instead of like quickly like try like not even let it go through your subconscious mind.
Yeah.
So that's what was like my experience too in the past.
And what you're saying is completely right. But then if we look at it at a much deeper level, and we say one that is in that very situation, and is saying nobody really understands me, what do you want people to understand? What is there to understand? What is there to understand? And this is the question we've never really asked ourselves when we're in that situation. You want everybody to understand you, but understand what? That's a question we've not never really asked ourselves. And I hear a lot of statements when people would say, I just want to be understood. Understood? What do you want us to understand? And then the opposite of it is when we say, I feel like I'm misunderstood. What does it mean to be misunderstood? What understanding is there to gain from I? You feel like you're misunderstood, but if you try to describe that feeling to anybody else, nobody understands you. And that causes more confusion. So the more words you try to use to get people to understand you, the more confusion it causes. And so it's a vicious cycle of you don't even know what you're trying to get people to understand. And when you try to explain to them what they should understand about you, it causes more confusion than the original starting place. So then, let's really ask ourselves. I want everybody to understand me. I don't really get understood in this company. This company doesn't really understand what I'm all about. They don't really understand me. Man, I wish someone can understand. Understand what? Who here has gone through this experience and has been able to pinpoint what people should understand? My family doesn't really understand me. What should they understand? What is there to understand? And that changes the whole mentality. Because then you ask yourself, you say, okay, hold on. I wanted people to understand me, but I myself don't even know what I want them to understand. So then we can see, though I might play a victim in that situation, I myself, the I, doesn't know why I'm where I am. And it's almost as if you are telling people, understand what I don't understand. And so as you try to explain to them what you don't understand, they can't understand what you don't understand. And so it creates a mass misunderstanding, because if you don't understand what you need them to understand, then what can they understand from what you don't understand? And someone must say, just hearing it is confusing. It is confusing. Well then, if I play a victim, I cry about my problems, I feel like I'm alone, I feel lonely, I feel like no one in my family, no one in my surrounding, no one in my circle of friends really get me. Well, what do you want them to get? No one really gets me. Well, what do you want them to get? Well then, this causes a mystical problem. It causes a very intricate problem where I'm trying to be understood, but I don't even know what I want them to understand. Then we question and we say, all right, if nobody's going to take the time to understand me and understand what I'm going through, then one might say, they don't love me. Another might say, everybody is fake. Another might say that I hate them. Well, if we rewind and we go back and say, all right, you want us to understand what you're going through. What are you going through? Well then, one might say, I'm going through pain. Going through suffering, and they might try to communicate the experience, the emotional experience, onto somebody else. Well, how do you communicate an emotional experience onto somebody else? And that's the next question. How do you communicate an emotional experience onto somebody else? Does anybody know how you do that? Because you're feeling it on the inside, and it's a whole vibration to your body. You can sense it. But and this is one of the biggest problems in marriage. One feels a certain way and tries to communicate that emotional experience to another. How do you do it? Can it be done? Well, the causes of a lot of misunderstanding in relationship, people say, all right, we misunderstand a lot because of communication. Well, when we hear the word communication, we think of just words. I say A, she says B, and as we've said A and B, the communications happened. Well then, is that communication they're talking about? Or are they really referring to a transfer of emotion? Of an experience. How does one communicate an experience to another? How do you do it? Can you really do it? Because that experience carries emotion. How do you communicate that emotion to another? A person that's asking this very question, or this saying this very statement of nobody really understands me, that's essentially what they're trying to say. I'm struggling to transfer and communicate these emotions, these feelings, this experience onto somebody else. That's what they're saying. Well then, how do we do it? Can we do it? Is it doable? And that's the big question that we're going to try and answer today. Because a lot of times we want people to understand us, and as I said before, we don't know what we want them to understand. We want to be understood. I'm looking for someone that gets me. My manager doesn't really understand me. Well, what do you want them to understand? And so that changes everything. And now we're thinking deep, because we haven't thought of this deep before. Usually we've been thinking very shallow of this is what I contain within myself, and that's what it says. Everybody else must come from where they are, get inside of me and take what I have inside. And we might become in sync. Well then, the big question of life is, how do you get somebody to understand you? And we know that life is a path of discovery. And it all starts with self. And so then, someone may say, maybe if I can discover more about myself, then I can communicate my experience and my feelings across much better. Well then, you start that journey, and you start going on a journey to understand yourself. so that you may be able to communicate what's inside of you to another better. Well then, where do you start the journey? Where do you start? Which path do you take to understand the concept of communicating your emotion to another? Well then, those who are spiritual would say, you must be born again, you must be transformed, you must be changed, you must change your ways, you must grow, you must become a better person. Stop playing a victim, become a better person. Well, how does one do that? How do you become a better person?
Forgiving what you are currently.
Forgiving or forgetting?
When you truly forgive, you forget.
Oh yeah. So now one must say, let me embark on a mystical journey. I'm gonna learn how to forgive. Well then he reads the scripture and he says the core of forgiveness is love. Well, then he reads the scripture again and he says, thou shalt love the Lord our God with all our hearts. And so he said, okay, for me to get there, to that point of forgiveness, I must love the Lord. How do you love the Lord?
I believe, like, it all starts just spending time by yourself, just turning everything off.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's really, mind works and thinks differently without distraction of your mobile phones and what's going on TV, radio, music, whatever. Like, if you really just sit there by yourself, which is actually a bit hard to do, but it's really basic, and your mind will start thinking really differently. So I would say that's where you start, because it's one of those things that you have to experience. Pay attention how your mind runs around. When you're not on your phone and stuff like that, just sit there and read. I believe that's the place where you start to love yourself and love God, and it's those two go hand in hand, I believe.
And I truly agree with what you're saying, but then this is the interesting bit here is then, okay, so many have said, all right, I gotta separate myself from the world. I'm gonna isolate myself. Well, the first time I remember, if I'm speaking from my experience, when I isolated myself from the world and spent time with myself for 2 whole months, I was trying to kill myself. I couldn't bear to see myself in the mirror, this person that I called I. Well then, is there a formula? Because back then, I isolated and I tried to die. Now I isolate and I awaken. What's the difference? Then someone may say, oh no, last time when you isolate, you didn't read the Bible. Yeah, I did. Someone may say, okay, last time when you isolate, your mind wasn't in the right place. I tell you, I was more motivated back then than I am now. Back then, I was really, really trying to become successful. And so it's confusing now. Is there a formula to becoming a better person? Then I spoke of the Bible saying, thou shalt love. And Cody spoke of forgiveness, right? You must forgive to forget to die, but to forgive you must love. And then so he goes back to the root cause of love. And then in the Bible says you shall love. Now, I'm looking at myself and I don't see any form of love for self. Now you're telling me to love another. So now I'm going into a battle with myself to love myself and love another. And then you tell me to love God. And so I look how far I've fallen and how much sin I'm in. And so the world says, and the people say, all right, church. And so church is a promise, and he promises us that if you attend, you might somehow, somewhere, hope to meet a God who will save you from yourself. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to find a God who will save you from yourself. That's what we've been trying to do. Looking for something else that can save us from us. That's what relationship is now. That's why it's so broken, because you look for a partner who can save you from yourself. Well, then all this journey I went through was to become a better person. I wanted to die, and because I wanted to die, I had to forgive. And before I forgive, I had to love. And then when I went to learn to the core of love, I realized God is love, and so I have to love God. And if I have to love God, then I must learn all about this one God. And how can I love this God? I don't love myself. And if I have to love another, and it's requiring so much of me. And all this, when I try to actually do them, I realize how much more I lack. What then if I don't love God? I don't love myself. I can't love another. Then I can't forgive myself. Then I can't forgive another. Then I can't bless myself. Then I can't bless another. More than I'm looking for a method, a way to change myself to something called a better person.
You need to die.
Well then, let's take that journey to die again. To die, you said you must forgive, right?
Yeah. But you can't die if you can't forgive. And you need to die.
Well then, let me go on a journey to die again. One man said, I must forgive to die. Alright, now I go in the person that I hate and I say, I forgive you. But deep down, I can't let it go. I keep thinking about it. Now, how do I get those thoughts out of my mind? And so, if I'm thinking of negative thoughts, unholy thoughts, then I feel like I'm a sinner. And so I try to control my mind. Well, then how does one control their mind? Can the mind even be controlled? It's a vicious cycle, because all I'm doing is I'm trying to improve myself. And to improve myself, Cody says I have to die. And what has to die is the ego. So then the journey is to find out how to kill my ego. How do I kill my ego? Because the more conscious I am of trying to kill my ego, the more harder it gets to actually kill the ego.
By constantly forgiving yourself. You come into a situation and you may sin, for a lack of a better word. But then you go back in your imagination and rewrite it, and rewrite it, and rewrite it. And that sparks the forgiveness in you.
Yeah.
Which is the spirit of Jesus.
Just going back to the thoughts, the negative thoughts, you don't fight them. The more you fight them, the more you're conscious of them being there, and the more they'll multiply. But what you have to do is use the law of substitution, where when those thoughts come, I don't intend on fighting them. I just meditate on God's love, and I become thankful that God loves me. And you say that if you want to say out loud, you can, or you can just meditate on that, and His peace that suppresses all understanding will come upon you. And that's what I've used when these thoughts come.
Yeah, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So you just continuously be conscious of what's happening, but forgive, forgive, forgive. Never stop forgiving. Forgive yourself.
I feel like why we despise ourselves is because we have been trying to live according to other people's standard rather than us creating a meaning for ourselves. And the only remedy is forget everything and define a better personality for ourselves. And yeah, I guess that's the main reason.
Well, then how does one do that? Forget everything, because if we say we really are trying to forget everything, that's a lie. Though I forget, it's still there. Let's be honest, I've forgiven, but it's still there.
When I talk about forgiveness, it's not like the world's forgiveness. You know, I go and review my day, and I may have a bad thought towards someone.
Yeah.
Now I go back in my imagination, I review it, and now in my imagination I change it to a loving thought. And I keep on replaying it, replaying it, replaying it. And that's the forgiveness. You keep on sparking that forgiveness up in your soul. And when you truly forgive that person, you start to see him how you want to see him. Now you see him differently. You've forgotten what you first previously saw him as. You've truly forgiven it.
So what we see is a compilation of different tricks and methods to really try to control the mind. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to find a way to control this very mind. Because this mind seems to be disobedient. It's going all over the place. The ego behind it is sending it all over the place. And so we're trying to find a way to control the mind. Isn't that what we're trying to do? We're trying to look for a method where I can keep my mind sane. Should I do more imagination? Should I do a fasting? Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I substitute this? Should I rewind this? What should I do to keep my mind intact? Die to the ego, to make myself a better person, to become better. Well then,
when you say ego, what do you, I mean, how do you define by it? Like, well, ego what?
The ego is the compilation of conscious attention. It is who you think you are. When you speak of I, it is your ego. That is not your true self. When you think of I'm black, I'm this, I'm Asian, I carry this, I come from this family, all that stuff is a bottle of ego that will grow from there. It's a sense of an identity that's clothed on you. And matter of fact, everything you do now is because of that very identity you carry. So now, when we speak of being born again, is thinking of the idea of dying to that ego, getting rid of that ego and what we're clothed under, and being clothed under the family, to be born again under the family of God. That's what we're trying to do, right? We're trying to start a brand new life, to be a new creation, new mind, start again under the family of God. Well, now the shift from going to that place to another place is where people are struggling, because so many of us have gone through long journeys trying to find ourselves. We've tried different methods and strategies to improve ourselves. Well, what is there to improve? Is there really something to improve? Then, we say stuff like this: I would like to become a better person. I don't know why I said personal. I was trying to think of something else. Anyways, how do I become a better person? Is there something I can do to become a better person? So then religion has taken us into a trip, a journey to become better people. Let's give more, let's uplift each other. They've given us step by steps, and all religion do that. It takes us on a journey to how to become better people. So, because hopefully on our journey to trying to become better people, we'll feel better about ourselves. Well then, on our journey to also becoming better people, we want to get good things happening in our lives. Then I asked one person one day, I said, Joe, I just want a good life. I just want good things to happen to me. And I said, well, how do you know what's good for you? You say you want something good to happen to you. How do you know what's good? What is good for you? How do we know? Well, let's say someone is trying to get married. He finds a partner very loving, and he takes a gamble. He doesn't really know if she's good for him. It's a gamble. Well, he's hoping that when he gets into that relationship and he's married, she doesn't turn out to be what he didn't expect. And it doesn't matter how much you've known somebody, you take that gamble. Why? Because we're still trying to answer that very question: what is good for us? We don't know. We don't know what's good for us. Well, if you don't know what's good for you, how can you become a better person? And it's very interesting, because what the journey of life is, let me give you a story. Somebody comes up and this very person has everything they need where they are. Well, the person doesn't believe so. So they say, let me go on a journey to find out everything I have. To find out who I am. To find out what I have. To find out the true core of what everything is all about. So then I go on a journey I leave a position and a place where I have everything I ever needed. And I go on this very journey. And the journey takes me on a lot of experiences, a lot of ups and downs. And when I get to the end of this journey, I look back to where I started, where I had everything. And I look at the journey and I compare the two. And I say, wow. My starting position was definitely better than what I went to experience. Well then, how come I could not see where I started? Because everything good is in comparison to something bad. What is good unless you know something is bad? For one person to be praised, another have to be blamed. For one person to be a high achiever, there must be a low achiever. For one to be rich, there must be a poor. If there is no poor, there is no rich. Well, then if I don't know my starting position is the greatest place to start, and I leave that starting position to go on a journey to find out what this is all about, when I come to the end of it, I'll realize that my starting position was always greater. Well, then I can't find out from where I am. I must go on this journey. So on this journey then, what happens on the journey? On the journey, you will learn about what you can do to become a better person. What you can do to get everything you need in life. Well, your starting point already had everything you needed, but you couldn't see it until you went on a journey. Well, then the journey would try to give you methods and strategies and things to do to get to that very place you already were. And so that's the cosmic game of life. That's an interesting game. Because we go through so much just to find out that we already had it from the very beginning. And then when I say that to somebody, someone say, "No, what you mean? I don't understand." Well, then I say, let me give you a couple of methods you can do. Let me send you on a journey. Why? Because for you to awaken to who you truly are, you must go through a journey. And only from a journey can we really compare and say, yeah, this person is successful. Well, the only reason I know this person is successful is because I can compare him with someone else that's unsuccessful. So-and-so is lazy. How do I know they're lazy? Because I can compare them with somebody that's active and effective. Well, this journey of becoming a better person then you must be comparing yourself to somebody you think is lesser than you are. And you're saying, so-and-so is lesser than I am. I want to become better than that which I am. And so then we ask the question, what is the concept of truth? Because we know that if we know the truth, this truth shall set us free. Well, then what is the truth we need to know that will set us free? Because the reason we're not free is because we embarked on a journey to discover something we already had. We think by going on a journey, we'll find a treasure. But the treasure is home. Well, then when I go through this whole journey and I come back home, then I realize my treasure was always where I left it. But I couldn't value it as a treasure until I went on a journey. So then the scripture tells me that the truth about that very concept is what will set me free. So then what is this truth that sets all free? About a lot of time, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What is the truth? And so, the Muslim would say, it's to be a good person. That's what will set you free. And then the Christian would say, it's the fact that Jesus died on the cross. That's what will set us free. And so, the Hindus will say, once you obtain Nirvana, that's the state that will set you free. Well, then they're showing us all different ways and path we might take to get to the state of freedom. But the way which can be described and the way which can be explained is not the eternal way. In other words, the way which can be traveled is not the eternal way. As you go on trying to travel on a journey to get to a destination, the moment you think about traveling to get to a destination, you've missed the whole point. Well, that's what religion did. It tried to get us on a journey to get to a destination called heaven. And that's what life tried to make us do. We tried to get to a destination called better. Better than what? Well, then another might say, what do you mean? Don't we have to be better people? Don't we have to help out in society? Well, then, there's a lot of tasks you can do. I remember they came up to Jesus one time and they said, Jesus, and the woman with the alabaster oil, she dropped some oil on Jesus' feet. And this is very expensive oil. I did some research years ago, and I think it was about, 30,000 for that oil. And the disciples cried out and say, how? How are you going to drop this oil on the floor? We could have sold it and given it to the poor. And Jesus says something very interesting. He says, the poor you have always. Well, if I said that statement today, well, how would people take it? How would especially those of religious figure take it? He don't want to help the poor. He doesn't want to give. Well, a lot of people are falling into the line of guilt, where they feel like if they don't give to the local churches a certain amount of money, well, then they can't get to heaven. I had a conversation with a certain man and it really traumatized him. He constantly had to decide whether to help his family or help the church. Because he said, if I don't do and give to the church, then God is watching. Then I must love God greater than I love anybody else. Well, therefore, I must give my all to God. Well, then that was his concept. And that chained him for years. Thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. What is this truth that sets us free?
I would say the state of mind from the beginning, the journey to another state of mind. Because when you said that's where the treasure you already had at the beginning, I thought of the story of Joseph where he had his family already, but their state of mind from the beginning, especially his brothers towards him, were different comparing to the end of the story. So Joseph had to go to this journey, testing his character, building his faith, and same with his brothers on the other side of the story. And they merge later on, main story.
Yeah.
And then you see the end results of them all being saved
with
a new set of mind. So it's like Joseph had to learn it for himself first before he can show it and apply it to others to see.
100%.
So that's why he had to go on that journey for himself, and then later on will be for others once he has perfected it. Because it does say God was testing Joseph in Psalms 115. So that story of that. So the whole journey from A to B, it's a renewal of that mind.
Yeah.
Because like, if you don't go through that journey, you'll miss the little details of it where you need to pick up and stuff like that. Because once you hit that destination, it's not so much of like the reward. Normally you look back and be like, wow, I used to think like that, now I think like this. That's more of a better result for them. And you see that with like people becoming millionaires and stuff like that. Sure, like they have a lot of money now, but the mindset from when they were before, when they wasn't a millionaire or whatever, to now, they're more grateful for that rather than having money. Money is just like the cherry on top.
100%. Anybody else? What is this truth that sets us free? And Earth said it's a state of mind.
Your belief of yourself, your be to first becoming, your consciousness of who you are. Yeah, we're told to, you know, when you ask, what's that verse? Believe that you have received it and you shall receive it.
Yeah.
So it's the belief of just being it. Yeah. That's the truth. Just be.
Anybody else? So then, this truth, we'll come back to this truth. So then we'll say, what can I do to make myself a better person? What can I do? What's the process? Is there a process?
Chuck yourself in like those uncomfortable positions in your life, because you're not growing if you're running away from it. So by But if you face, if you choose to face it, taking that leap of faith of taking on that challenge, and you'll learn, taking that faith, and you'll learn things from that you're going through and stuff like that. And that's how you become better in that area.
Yeah.
If you run, you're not going to learn anything, you can't be better. So we all have that. We all have like a bunch of things that we avoid and procrastinate and run away from. But if we, deep down we know, if we do go towards it and like stay with consistency and stuff like that, we eventually will get through the other side and we'll learn something.
Just to add on with what Earth said is, like, even just becoming aware of what you're doing and then going about making a change. Like, you know, some people aren't even aware that they spend hours on hours on their phone, you know, or they are, but they're not, you know, they look down, they look back up, a couple of hours is gone, they're like, oh. And it's not until that thought of like, oh, hey, I could be using this time a lot better. Until that awareness comes where you can make a change.
And this awareness is very vicious, right? Because the moment you become aware that you don't qualify in a certain thing, then you go on a journey to try to change it. And now that what that creates, it's a battle. It creates a battle between the conscious and the subconscious. It creates a battle between a program and the desires. I desire to be better, but the program is stuck on a broken record. Then the battle starts. How do I transform this bad record into a program that will make me a better person? Then what? I say, okay, how does a better person look like? Am I better because I have more success under my belt? Is another that quit his job and went to live in an island, is he better than I am? What is better? Is my life better than yours? Well, then that's another battle that I'm starting to doubt. Well, then I must achieve this thing called success. Then I must question myself and say, what does success look like for me?
Yeah, like when people think of success, they compare their, like, whether other people define success for them, but they should really be doing it for themselves. Like, just maybe like if you had one bad habit and you wanted to work towards it, the only way to get rid of that bad habit is to replace it, not like quit.
Yeah.
You have to replace it with good habits and you start to work towards that. And then when you become more consistent at doing the good habits over the bad habits of that area, that could be successful to you. And that's like the slow steps and stuff that you can take.
Yeah. And what you're saying is very interesting, because let's use that very example. Well, there's a lot of people that needed to learn consistency. And who knows what is the best way to teach one consistency? Well, then I might teach this person consistency how? Because he loves to drink. So I teach him consistency by his drinking habit. He becomes super consistent in that. Well, then another one I say, that's bad. Well, it taught him consistency, but he also got him addicted. And what is good and what is bad to another? Then we're really questioning all areas, because then I see what I'm doing is the worst thing out there, but there's a great lesson in what I'm doing. And it's almost as if I didn't go through what I went through, I couldn't get that lesson any other way. So what I thought was a bad experience was the best experience, was what my better. It was my version of better. Well, imagine I stood on in a crowd of a multitude of people and I said, failure was the best thing that ever happened to me. A lot of people would get pissed. They want you to say success is the best thing that ever happened to you. Well, then if I qualify failure as the best thing, another doesn't think so. Let's say failure is the worst thing, the success they gain is the best thing. Then now we're going into a loop. Because at the end of the day, nobody really knows what is good for them. Nobody really knows. And we are all embarked on a journey trying to become better people. Well, I'm trying to become a better person, but I don't know what is better. If you don't know what better looks like, how can you become better? Well, then I look at somebody else and I envision how they live their life and I say, I want to get there. And I create a desire in my head. But that desire is in the conscious. But then I find out, hold on, I got a program in my subconscious. Maybe if I become this better, then I shall reach the state I want to reach. Well, then you improve yourself and you get to that very state. And then you realize, wait, that's not it. Let me improve myself more. You improve it again. And you realize, wait, that's not it. I'm in a constant state of improvement. And there's many of us, we look at each other, though I've done so much and improved so much, I feel like I've gone backwards. I'm a worse person, even though I've achieved so much. A lot of people feel like that. They've ticked all of the boxes. They've written 300, they've ticked it all. They've gotten to the end and they felt more empty than when they began. A lot of the elderly people are full of regrets just because of that very thing. Well, then if you ask them and try this out, go out and say, okay, you have regrets. And they'll tell you, I regret it. I should have lived my life differently. And then you say, okay, if you wanted to live your life differently, how would you like to live? And do what? Most of them don't know, don't really know. They just feel like it had to be different. It had to be better. How is somebody's life better?
I think a lot of time, like, I see a lot of people who want to improve themselves for other people to see.
Yeah.
And to impress other people, but they never want to impress, I mean, like, to improve themselves, for their own why.
Yeah.
And if they're trying to improve someone, like, trying to copy that person with the habits to improve themselves, that person has a different why to, like, rather than them, like, to them.
Yeah.
So if they just focus on improving themselves for their own reason, their own purpose, their why, that will be more fulfilling. Because a lot of people don't know their purpose. They're just existing and
yeah.
Sure, they see like, oh, that's a good habit. Yeah, they know that deep down that's good.
Yeah.
They do it, but they don't have that. It doesn't connect with their why. They don't know why they're doing it.
Yeah.
But that's why there's that void there. So they'll constantly ask themselves like that is good, but why is it not clicking?
Yeah.
So I believe that too. That's the reason. Because a lot of people are trying to live their life to please others and trying to like let other people around them to know that I'm doing good in life. Putting a mask on, like, yeah, I save this much money and stuff like that, I have this job, but like they might not even like their job or even really like that car that they have because they just bought it because the other person has it. But that other person might have that specific car for their specific lifestyle because they know what they want to do, because they know their why.
Yeah, 100%. And that brings us in a very interesting conundrum, because There's those who are trying to improve themselves because of another. And then there is those who are trying to improve themselves so they can become better. But when you push forward to really becoming a better person for yourself, you always realize there's a system of one up. There's no limit. One car, two cars, three cars, four cars. One business, two business, three business. $1 to $10, $20. When does anybody ever say, okay, 100 grand, that's max. I stopped there. That was my vision when I started, right? My vision was to make 100 grand. Now I make 100 grand. Stop. Fix. It's always a system of one-up. I get to this level, I realize, nah, there's more to do. Nah, there's more to do. Nah, there's more to do. And I'm always trying to do one-up on each other. One-up on myself. That's an interesting cycle.
I think, from my point of view, I'm just by listening to everyone's conversations, I'm just trying to put it in my perspective, because every time I've gone into any book I've read, I've never thought of anyone else. As crazy as that sounds, I've never thought of what that person might think if I grow. It's just been desperation. I've just wanted more. I've always been content with what I have. One business I'm happy with. Obviously, in the future, I strive, you know, four or five. I think the more my soul prospers, my visions become larger. Does that make sense? So it's never about anyone else. It's just about, yeah, my own goals and how what I'm doing can serve others. So the way I look at it is, by having two businesses, how is this going to serve the community? By doing this thing, do you know what I'm saying?
100%.
So in a way, it's about, I'm always content with where I am. I'm always happy with where I am. But there's that desire of more. Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%.
I think it's that verse that God puts eternity into a man's heart.
Yeah.
And also that he doesn't like when you stay still for too long. So when you reach, it's like a video game really, like you pass a level, chill for a bit, and the next level is a bit harder and stuff like that. And there's a quote like where when the earth settles, God throws a rock at it, so it gets you moving.
Yeah.
And yeah, like it's just another, the next challenge, I guess. Because like, I can't imagine like reaching my goal or whatever and be like, you think it's just gonna be all chill and stuff like that. Of course it's gonna be like a new drama comes along and something that you never faced before and managed before and stuff like that, and you have to go through that whole concept of struggling and taking that journey again, and it's just for other people as well. So you go through a new journey for other people and stuff like that when you grow. But there is that the other end where, like, you know how people buy things and then they get real excited about it, and then that excitement wears off, and then they buy another new thing, and that cycle keeps going on. That's the opposite, I reckon, of that state of mind. I don't know how to say that, but I think it's all got to do with your purpose and why. Because if you know your why and the challenges come, you always already going to know that it's a part of your why. But if you don't, things like this cycle keeps happening, you just be like, I don't know what's going on, but it's just going in this cycle and you can't really catch it.
Yeah.
Until you know the foundation, and which is like your purpose of being part of it.
Yeah.
Life is just a satisfaction of desire, or the appeasement of desire. you know, you with verse Earth said the verse about God setting eternity into your hearts. That reminded me of another verse where God caused a drought to fall upon the land, a thirst for God, and that God is yourself, and you hunger and thirst for more of you, of more of what you can do, what you can become, and life is just the thirst for that hunger.
I just wanted to add on, because see, I don't get satisfied by the paychecks. I don't even get satisfied. I enjoy what I do, but I'm okay with whether I have that paycheck or not. And Paul says, I know what it means to have everything, and I know what it means to have nothing, and I'm still okay. And Cody really hit the nail when he said, when I learn more of this stuff, it's hard not to want more. And when you go and face challenges, you grow from them. Because if I'm in the same job for the past 3 years, doing the same things, how do I grow? And I can reflect back, and when I used to work at Woolworths during school, I was scanning things. In fact, I probably was the top scanner in Australia, just standing in the checkout and scanning things. Nothing was changing. Each year, every month was the same thing. But now I look back, and when one contract finishes, I'm doing things that I'm not even qualified to do, but it develops my skills. So the challenge is, I love how when we face challenges, we grow from them, and you learn your skills, and you learn how to manage things differently, which is exciting, because sometimes I jump in and I have no idea what I'm jumping into, and I learn something new.
When you just said, you know, somebody stuck in a job for like 3 years, that just made me think of, like, you know, people in that situation, and you know, some of them like that. Some of them like that reoccurring cycle, but they don't notice the hunger in them. Like, they want a new car, you know, to go away on a weekend, you know, and not worry about money or work. That hunger, that desire is in everyone. And it's just the satisfaction of pleasing that.
Yeah, and I think when self-discovery happens, those desires, it awaken within them. There's no way you can have your soul prospering without having visions of what you want in the future. There's no way that can happen. There's no way you can go into the Bible and realize that the Bible says, for nothing is impossible with God. And who's God? You are God. And there's no way you can read that and not be seeing yourself 10 years from now, or seeing yourself on stage. It's impossible. Because as your soul prospers, so do you.
Well, if that statement is true, then the religious institution would have had everybody awaken. Because then everybody has a desire to change. Change is something inevitable. Everybody tries to become a better version of themselves. And a lot of people cross Bibles. Everybody essentially has read the Bible. It's hard to find someone that's never crossed, doesn't know who Jesus is, doesn't know about the cross, doesn't know about the scripture. They all seem to know.
Yeah, I think it's that awakening as well, because before I understood this concept of God, I was like, oh, like, I was trying to please God. I was trying to not do anything, because I felt like there was this external force that governed my life. But then when I awakened and realized that the force was me and everything was within, nothing can stop you.
Well, then that's the big question: how do you awaken? Because if we know a formula, we can go out and awaken everybody we meet. How do you awaken? And to awake is simply to get rid of the ego. Well then, how do you get rid of the ego?
Have to die. But yeah, people don't understand death. People don't understand the old man, new man. You know, oh, to live in the new, to live as a new person, live as a new me, die. And dying is literally thinking a different way. You drop your concept of everything that you know and live to something that you become.
Then would you say half the world is not trying to do that very thing, change their whole past to become something new? People leave cities, go into new countries, trying to eliminate that very thing that holds their memory. They're trying to die to that old life. That's an everyday act.
Yeah, but you can't put, you know, old patches on the new, what is it, new wineskin? You know what I'm trying to, what's that verse? new wine. Yeah, well, people are trying to, you know, change and become something new from their same state of being. Like, they don't change their way of thinking. They don't, you know, they think they could get something new by doing what they're still doing, how their problems were formed.
And the thing is, choices are not even in your actions. Every thought is a choice. Because I realize that I can't think the same way as I was thinking yesterday. It would create the same results. If I didn't like the results that were created yesterday, I cannot wake up today and be like, oh, what if this happens today? No, it will create the same results. So what I completely have to die. I die because... And when we talk about Jesus' resurrection, it's... You have to die and then you awaken. And there's a verse that really hit me, and it says, awake, sleeper.
Awake,
yeah.
Sleepless soul.
Huh?
Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, that verse. Because most people are asleep. And that's why it's called like an awakening, because you realize that you realize that there's this power within you that you've been using, but you haven't been using effectively. Because you use it, everyone uses it.
Alright, let's conclude all this stuff, and I'll just say a little bit. Now, the original question that was asked, nobody really understands me, nobody really understands what I'm going through, and how do I become a better person? Well then, the secret is found in the truth, in thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. Before I go in and conclude, Earth, you had something to say?
Yeah? I found this quote on an audio, so it might go in with this. It goes, watch your thoughts because they will become your words. Watch your words because they'll become your actions. Watch your actions because they'll become your habits. Watch your habits because they'll become your character. And watch your character because it will become your destiny.
Very powerful. Another step and process to becoming better. Well then, let's get to the core of it. Well, this truth that will set us free. What is this truth? Let's have a look and see what Ephesians says. It says, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So how do you become a better person? How do you awaken from a sleeper state? You can't. You can try your hardest and you still can't. You can open that Bible, study it day and night, and you won't see nothing. Why? Because the first step you will try to do is to remove the ego. Well, sorry? The ego is an illusion. It doesn't exist. And the more you try to remove something that doesn't exist, you find yourself looping and looping around something that's not even there to begin with. And that's the ultimate joke. Is we try to make ourselves better by removing something that isn't there. And so when you go in and really try to remove something that isn't there, you cause more harm to yourself than where you begin. And some of you may catch it today, and some of you may not catch it today, but this is the great news. This is the truth that sets us free, is that you can't do anything about yourself. It's a happening. Everything is just happening. Can you breathe? No, you can't really breathe, even though we say, I'm breathing. Well, when you stop breathing, do you die? No, you're still breathing. I can physically say, I'm breathing. Well, then I stop. I'm still breathing. It's always been a happening. Well, then when I embark on a journey, if I cannot see my original starting state is where the treasure was, a treasure hidden in earthly vessels. If I cannot see that very treasure, then I shall go on a journey to find myself. And I should apply all different discipline and different methods to awaken myself to something new. But it is only when I realize there's nothing I can do for myself, by myself, against myself, then everything flows. Because when things are occurring with a power of omnipotent, it happens subconsciously. You don't even notice it. And the moment you become aware and notice a certain mistake, a certain fault, a certain somewhere you lack, and you try to change it, you awaken it. You give it power. You awaken an illusion that was asleep. I might look at myself and say, I feel heavy. Well, then I've awakened it. Now everybody that sees me, Joe, you've gained weight, Joe, you're fat. And I look in the mirror, I see it. And I've wakened an illusion that's not there. Well then, does that mean I can also look at my body and say you have abs? And the body can also shape itself to that very thing? It's true. Well then, someone might say, well, if you eat a very bad diet constantly, and you say that, where would that take place? Well, then I say, no. Why won't it take place? Because unity is the core of any activity that happens. Well, then if your mind is not in unity with your desires, because the conscious got to be in unity with the subconscious, the program cannot be against the desires for anything to happen. So, then everything is happening. I become a better person when I stop trying to control what better looks like. Well, then the best answer to always give is, I don't know. A true genius never knows how he does it. That's what makes a miracle a miracle. There is no formula. There is no step-by-step process. We can speak of different methods we can apply in hope that you can see that everything you have is in you. That's all it is. We are hoping you could see. We can't make any changes to you. We are hoping you could see. And when you see, the only act you perform is an act of stillness. Because you know that you are it. And if you know, then that knowledge sets you free from having to toil, battle, trying to improve yourself, trying to make more money, trying to become a better person. Then you realize you are one with everything that's happening. Whether you like it or not, it's a wave, it's a stream. Well then, the biggest question now is, if it's a stream of water and I'm trying to take part in this stream, I must ride it. Well then, the hardest question to answer is, which way is the stream going? Because if I'm going to ride it, I must know which way it's going. And I'll end with this quote. I won't go too much into this. It's profound stuff. And that's the great truth that Jesus discovered, that he never did any work. And there's nothing he could do to improve himself, because the Father does it all. And that's the greatest mystery that we speak of all the time in religious. Grace, grace, grace. Not understanding. That's the secret. When you lose control, you gain control. And that's the act of dying. To lose control. When you're controlling your thoughts, you keep yourself in that loop. Keep it awake. Keep the illusion awake. When you're trying to act to fix something, you're transferring energy to those thoughts. Those thoughts are coming alive. So then the greatest thing to learn is the act of surrendering. I surrender all. Just let it happen. It's happening. Whether you like it or not, it will happen. Thoughts will come. Thoughts will come after thoughts. It's happening. Just become one with the system. And so the greatest gift is the gift of grace. And as you learn that it's not you doing the work, then you don't try to control anything anymore. Because all we look for as humans, we always look for a control center. What impacts this? What impacts that? Cause and effect. Well, there's some truth to cause and effect. Think this way and this will happen. There's some truth to it. And it's definitely true. But there's a bigger truth. It is that grace is the governing center of all. That's the greatest gift that's been given to us, is to let it happen. And that's the hardest thing to do, to just let something happen. Just let your thought flow and just watch them. Stop trying to control. And so I'll end with this quote. I heard a man say, to the one who is beginning, when you ask him, what do you want? He's not quite sure. And he says, I don't know. To the intermediate student, they ask him, what do you want? And he says, I want this riches, I want this goal, I want to achieve this, I want to get this, I want to get that. But to the one who's reached the highest state of awakening, he's asked again, what do you really want? And he doesn't know. Another example would say, to a beginning student, mountains are mountains, and rivers are rivers. To the intermediate student, mountains are no longer mountains, and rivers are no longer rivers. And to the one who's obtained that high level of awakening, mountains are mountains again, rivers are rivers again. What can I do to improve myself? Let me rephrase that. What can I do to improve an illusion? What can you do to improve an illusion? It's an illusion. It's an illusion. It's a puppet that I've awakened. Well, I can't improve an illusion. I must let it go. My conscious attention is what keeps it alive. Well, then if I remove my conscious attention from it, then it dies. Well, then Jesus realized that and he said, I am the light of the world. Well, wherever he stands, light is there. And all shall see. Or if he doesn't want to be there, he removes himself from that very place, it's death and it's darkness. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, because there's nothing you can do about yourself to improve yourself. There's really nothing. And someone may say, yes, there is, because I'm thinking differently now, and so forth. I said, well, where do the thoughts come from? We don't even know. The thoughts don't come from your mind. The mind is just a receiving center. Well, what we want thoughts to flow. One thought to flow from the ultimate reality, the center point, the beginning of all things, the true self, to the mind. Well, how do we know when things flow? When things flow, you function subconsciously. There is no controlling center. Whenever I feel like I'm putting effort to make something work, and all I'm trying to improve is an illusion. Well then, I'll send myself on a journey so I can find out what is an illusion and what is I am.
If you enjoy our content, thank you. If you want more, you can follow us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TikTok. Head out to our website to find out about what we're doing up next at realitycreationtv.com. If you love the work that you do and you want to support us, you can support us through Patreon, Subscribestar, Crypto. All links in the description. I'm Joel Benicia from Reality Creation. Peace out.